Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Making it simple for you to support their comeback. Find out how you can donate, shop, and share today at smallunites.org. Proudly sponsored by Capital One.
Do you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes? Good news. There's a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative. Call U.S. Tax Shield, A-plus rated with the BBB, 800-391-5063 for your free consultation. And let U.S. Tax Shield protect you from the IRS.
This is WEEI.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Frustrated with your business banker? Switch to St. Mary's Credit Union. With competitive rates, quick local decision-making, and responsive service, St. Mary's delivers accessible business banking like no other. Visit online to connect with a St. Mary's banker today.
Trending now, brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on a select Toro Power Max snowblower. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston. Radio.com Sports Station.
This hour of Dale and Keefe is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health with locations in Salem, New Hampshire and in Dedham next to Legacy Place.
Keyshawn.
Touchdown. Keyshawn Johnson. Johnson,
yeah,
for the touchdown.
I have to pick up Popeye's chicken for Keyshawn.
One of the NFL's most respected analysts.
Morning, Keyshawn. How you doing? It's been a little while, but it's great to hear your voice. Nobody knows what's going on more than you do.
And one of the game's most charismatic stars ever.
Shut your ass up! Play football! Man, you a fake-ass John Randall. Shut your ass up!
ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson joins Dale and Keefe.
Cam Newton still sucks, see? Brady would have scored.
Now on WEEI.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn is sponsored by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. You can hear Keyshawn every morning on ESPN Radio's morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, as well as on ESPN's NFL Live program, which airs weeknights from 4 to 5 p.m. Good morning, Keyshawn. How are you?
I tried to tell y'all Cam Newton wasn't real. Y'all didn't listen to me. I told y'all Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer are way better quarterbacks.
All right, all joking aside, based on what you've seen of Cam Newton, what's his problem?
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, watching him play the last two games or so, just, you know, he's got to come out of it. And he will. And I think he will, and I think he'll be better for it. You know, it's not a COVID thing like people trying to turn it into. I think it's just a he's got to play better thing. Five interceptions in two games is not going to cut it. And I know being under a microscope and playing in the shadows of a living legend in Tom Brady certainly brings more scrutiny to his ability at the quarterback position when they've lost a couple games in a row. So you certainly know in that you trust in Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniel that things will get turned around. And Cam Newton's a good football player, okay? He's a good football player, and you can tell to some degree he's pressing. At least I can. Could tell that he was pressing. I said it on my show the other day coming out of that game. I said, something's wrong, and it's not injuries. Something is on him. He's got a piano on his back. And you can look at it, you could tell just by the emotionalist face, the just everything. But I think this week against the Buffalo Bills, knowing that this thing could come down to the Bills for the division, I'm looking at him and saying he's going to play so much better that people are going to change their tune about him in the quarterback position.
Keyshawn, did you ever play for a quarterback who was this inaccurate and just really struggled throwing the ball? And if so, what did that do for you and the other receivers?
I never, you know, if you look down the list of quarterbacks, and you know some of them because I've been in, you know, played mm-hmm. in the AFC East, mm-hmm. and I never looked at the quarterback and said, wow, I don't have one. I played with about 16 different quarterbacks in 11 years in the National Football League. And whoever they put underneath the center, I tried to make that quarterback as comfortable and look as good as possible. So I never really looked at the quarterback as my savior. I looked at myself as my savior.
Cam Newton has talked.
So hopefully that answers your question and I didn't give you some coaching rhetoric.
No, that makes sense. I was curious of the mindset of some of these receivers where, like, Damir Bird, we've seen it now in the last few weeks where he has been able to get free and Cam either airmails him or, you know, hits him right in his feet. And you're like, that's got to be frustrating for a guy who does everything he's supposed to do, beats either man coverage or finds a soft spot in a zone, and then the ball's just nowhere near. And I wonder if that starts to wear on you as a receiver.
Yeah, but if Damir Bird, is that a consistent or is that one or two things? Is that an outlier or is it a consistent every single time they get the ball that this is happening? Mm-hmm. Because if it's an every single time that they get the ball and it's happening, then they need to try to figure out other ways of getting him the football so he could help the team win. But if it's one or two throws every four or five games and he's missing him, that's something totally different.
Is Cam Newton the kind of guy that you think could fail mentally? And what I mean by that is he said on our station the other day that he's thinking too much. Now people are wondering if he has the yips. Is his confidence gone? I guess the question is Cam Newton a head case right now?
No, he's setting y'all up for failure. I know what he's doing, and I love it. I love every bit of it. Give you a little snippet. Oh, well, I'm going to lose my starting job. I don't feel so good. You know, if I don't do better, that's good. He's setting y'all up. You know how? Because when he goes out there and he kicks Buffalo's ass, then everybody will be able to say, oh, my God, wow, that's the Cam that we, you know, and that's the part of it because he knows he can do better.
Well, we know that too.
He's putting that pressure to do better.
Yeah.
He's putting that pressure to do better on himself.
What if he sucks?
He doesn't care about what the media is saying. He's just buying into it to set it up. So in the end, everybody who was talking smack can bite their words.
But what if he sucks?
I know what he's doing.
Yeah, Keyshawn, what if they lose to the Bills? I mean, I think you're right. If they beat the Bills, everybody feels a lot better because it's a division opponent and everything else. But if you lose, they're 2-4.
2-5
after the Bills. Excuse me, 2-5, and it would be four straight losses.
Ugh.
I mean, Cam might lose his job at that point, right?
It depends on how you lose. Are you losing because of Cam?
Yes.
33-6.
How you lost?
Everybody was bad.
He's throwing a lot of picks, and he's making bad reads, and he's getting receivers killed
then,
with hospital balls.
He deserves to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with somebody. I don't know who the somebody is. Is it Josh McDaniels? Is it Bill Belichick? Is it we're going to give it one more try to see what we can do, but this isn't working? Or you know, if they lose the football game, it's either going to be much like we just saw the last couple weeks, or it's going to be like the Seattle game. That's what it's going to be. If they lose, it's going to be like we saw the last couple weeks. Or it's going to be like the Seattle game. Barely lose, something happened, a long field goal at the end of the game, or they couldn't get it in on the two-point conversion, but he played extremely well. That's what I think. Or it's going to be a disaster to the point where I'm going to be like, yo, Cam, man, this ain't working.
So do you believe this is a must-win game for Cam Newton and the Patriots, both?
I do believe that. I honestly believe it is a must-win game for both. Because if they lose, what are they, three behind now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then at that point, you're probably not going to catch the Bills, and it didn't work out, and it didn't work out.
I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, but I think Bill Belichick, the general manager, isn't helping the coach right now. Several bad drafts in a row have depleted the stockpile of talent that he has to deal with here.
You know, I don't know like all the history of the drafts. Right, with Bill, sometimes the information that you may get from your scouting department may not be the information that you want to get or you need to make a necessary decision on who to draft or who to keep on the team on the 53-man roster, things like that. not making any excuses for Bill, but sometimes it's the people that are around you that tend to not necessarily get the right talent in-house to help you, you know, build a football team. Maybe losing so many guys over the years in the personnel department that have gone on to be general managers were more so better talent evaluators and information gatherers than they are general managers with their teams, i.e. the guy up in Detroit, Thomas Dimitroff, that was in Atlanta. Maybe they were better scouts than they were general managers. Therefore, when Bill was picking some of the talent in the past that they had, that information that was given.
Whether it's scouts or Belichick, they have not been able to draft wide receivers. Like, really, the entire tenure here, they have not been able to draft wide receivers. Maybe you can help them out a little bit, Keyshawn. What would you look for? What's a couple of things when you're watching the college game and seeing the college receivers that you think translates the best?
You say it to me one more time. I'm sorry.
Is there anything that you look for in the college receivers that you think transfers the best to the pros, just because that's been really one of the biggest weaknesses for the Pats?
I look for size, quickness, ability to attack the football, toughness, high IQ, they can play multiple positions. That's kind of what I look for when I certainly look at receivers. They haven't done a good job in the draft, in my opinion, of selecting wide receivers, because maybe they had Tom Brady and didn't feel that they needed to always.
Oh, we're losing you, Keyshawn. Sorry. We can't hear you.
Damn it.
We'll have to reconnect. Chime, try just grabbing him, see if we can get him in a better spot.
Better sell.
And then once we get this answer, forward it to Bill Belichick, and maybe they can draft receivers after this.
Well, Bill said nobody knows more about what's going on than
Keyshawn. True. That's true.
Well, he had a list of a bunch of attributes there, which all sound great to me. Wait a second.
I mean, because I think we saw it with Deebo Samuel. We've seen it with DK Metcalf. We've seen it with A.J. Brown. We've seen it with a lot of guys recently. Oh, yeah. Terry McLaurin. Like, these guys recently in the draft have all had it, and yet N'Keal Harry hasn't.
If you took a wide receiver in the last two drafts relatively early, you're relatively happy with that guy, unless
pretty
that
much.
Guy's name is N'Keal Harry.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. By the way, we talk a lot about Cam Newton's nicknames for everybody else. Did I catch a Scam Newton in there?
Scam Newton, yeah, he's calling him Scam
Newton. Good nickname. And we're 1 week away from people using that.
I tried to tell y'all Scam Newton wasn't real. Y'all didn't listen to me. I told y'all Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer are way better quarterbacks.
I think he also said Cam Damn Newton at one point, right? That was the reason
an old nickname, though. That was floating around in college, right?
Scam Newton. After the laptops, probably,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. That was at Florida, not at Auburn.
It's not as good as
unfortunately,
Lance is the manse.
it's better.
It's so much better.
I really had a good question. Damn it.
I'll answer it. Go ahead.
You want me to pretend you're him?
No, you just, yeah, I'll
Keyshawn, a couple weeks ago, I'll admit, I did not know that you were the uncle of Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Patriots seeking out, we're going to get him back?
TBD.
As a close source to the situation, is Michael Thomas going to be traded?
I don't know. Sean Payton said no on Twitter.
He did.
All right, let's see if we can reconnect here. Hey, Keyshawn, sorry about that. Your cell gave out on us.
I don't know what happened, man. That my phone just, like, went out and wouldn't dial back in.
Oh, jeez.
So you were giving your attributes for a good wide receiver, and I'm thinking, could you maybe give Bill a call? Run that list by him, help him out a little bit?
Well, they haven't done a good job in the draft at selecting wide receivers, because I think from a standpoint of having Tom Brady, maybe that kind of hit some of the deficiencies of some of the receivers that they thought that they had and they selected that they felt good about. I'm certainly not going to criticize his talent evaluating. Would he be by far as the greatest coach in, you know, modern history and six Super Bowls later? I don't know what it is. It just sometimes you get certain things wrong. you know, their style in the past has pretty much been Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, and tied in Deion Branch, Troy Brown, Julian Edelman, and that's pretty much it. And the guys on the outside have been just cast-offs. Hogan's of the world, you know, outside of, and I said this to you before, outside of Randy Moss. That's it. Everybody else has been kind of like just dudes with a uniform on, and they've won that way. So when you can get a Rashay Caldwell and win that way, you're like, well, my most important position is the inside and the tight end in our system in which we run, so therefore I don't need to put a premium on an outside receiver. I like receivers that can play everywhere, inside, outside, you know, all over the map. Everybody has a different philosophy.
Well, Keyshawn,
yeah, go ahead.
I'll admit that I didn't know you were Michael Thomas's uncle when we talked to you a couple of weeks ago. There's been a lot of talk coming out of New Orleans that maybe he's available on the trade market. Certainly the Patriots could use a wide receiver, as we just talked about. Any chance your nephew's going to get traded before November 3rd?
If I were you, I would listen to any reports from anybody that don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're not trading him. It's not even up for a conversation. He has a great relationship with Sean Payton and the organization. It's just people looking for clicks that don't know anything. Trust me when I tell you. It's not happening. It's the furthest thing from the truth.
Keyshawn, we appreciate you calling back in. And, yeah, I know. You just
can
gave
you put
Andy
in a good word for the Patriots? Because Scam Newton could use somebody to throw to.
He needs help.
Well, he does need some help. But, you know, they got what they got.
That is true.
That pretty much covers
it,
unfortunately.
He's got to play better, though.
Yes, he does.
Regardless, he's got to play better. And when he threw for almost 400 yards and he did what he did in Seattle, nobody was saying he needed receiver help. So, you know, it's funny how the wind blows, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Keyshawn, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, bud.
Thanks.
Thanks, Keyshawn.
Keyshawn Johnson joining
us. We're buds again. There was that touchy week where I feel like he thought we were kind of racist, so I'm glad
too.
That we're buds
you
again.
You too.
Yeah, you continue you to too. Distance you yourself too. From that conversation.
I am certainly going to distance myself from that every
Keyshawn,
time.
Keyshawn, I love AB. I love AB.
I do. I don't sound like that, but I,
yeah,
but I do.
Sometimes you do when you whine.
I think the Bucks are going to look pretty good.
The
coming up.
Going out on a limb
yep,
there.
I feel pretty good in that pick.
Make
them
people
to
forget about some of your other picks. Let's focus on the Bucks. Will be good.
You had the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Captain
so.
Obvious. The Bucks
Andy
may
Hart
put
picked
up some
the Dallas
points.
Cowboys
I did.
To make the Super Bowl.
I
so.
Did.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, wrote this within the last 10 minutes. Antonio Brown can make up to $2.5 million this year. He points out that, and Bert Breer apparently had the details, base salary prorates to $750,000 over the final 9 weeks of the season. Another $31,250 for every game that includes Brown on the active roster, up to $250 for the season. Another $250 for six touchdowns and a playoff appearance, all of the incentives. The bottom line here is the contract that he agreed to means he has to keep playing and he has to play well. Otherwise, it's a whole lot of money for us three. But for him, he's making chicken feet.
Yeah, he's not doing this for the money. He's doing this,
not.
A, to rehab his image, but more because I do believe he likes to play football. He likes to catch passes, dance,
football,
energy.
And he likes Tom
that.
Brady.
Well, he does like Tom Brady, and we can get into that later. I still find that weird. I'm with Matt Cassel,
it's
who's
a
talked
odd.
A little bit about
yeah.
this. Why he picked that guy to latch on
to. He wants
to
save him.
What?
He wants to save
so
him.
So now he's like a priest or a...
No,
like
whatever
a,
Tony Robbins is. He's that.
Yeah, I don't know what Tony Robbins is.
Yeah, I don't know. Like
he's a rich
speaker.
Man who takes advantage of the weak. That's
there,
what I think
there
Tony
are a
Robbins.
Lot of people who think Tony Robbins is a con artist.
Yes!
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Dale.
I said what I said.
He's a $500 million con man.
Yeah, all right. Okay. You gotta make a living.
I think Brady does make a pretty good living, yeah. Like $200 million just throwing a football, being the guy who
he
puts
does.
On pads.
There's
and
more
goat.
To that, you know? When he's 55 and he retires, he's going to have to do something else.
How about you just live off the $200 million?
Why?
Or do like Roger Staubach, buy a couple like investment properties
that's for Roger
and add
Staubach.
To it.
Brady doesn't want to do that. Brady wants to sell snake oil. That's
he'd
fine.
Be a con man?
Yeah, apparently.
Why?
Why not? They say there's, Bobby great. Bowden always said, there's one huge event that happens after you retire. Only one.
Funeral.
Die. Yes. So you might as
it's a
well.
Big one.
But no, that doesn't hold true
yes,
for
does.
Tom Brady. Well, you're going to tell me Tom Brady, after he retired from the NFL, could not have picked other avenues that would lead to, quote, big events?
What if his big interest is stretching and mixed nuts? If that's his big passion, let him do it. Who cares? You don't have to buy any of the stuff.
Then you're right. The next big event will be his funeral.
Correct.
Because no one cares about that stuff when he stops throwing touchdown passes.
I don't think he'll ever die. What? I think he's going to live forever.
He's got those pills he's taken, which are apparently remarkable.
He'll just fly into space one day and we'll never see him again.
Him and Ted Williams will get together.
Bring him back. It could happen.
The bottom line is he just got a new toy to play with. Or he will after
they're
going to
be
nine.
Unreal.
Ridiculous. You know what? The only way this is a letdown, I think, because I don't even think AB can blow it up. The only way
somebody
this is a letdown,
hurt.
Brady.
Brady gets
really,
hurt.
It's Brady, because if one of the other guys
doesn't
go down,
matter.
There's enough to fill in.
I wonder, my
can you imagine the guy that doesn't get hurt, has maybe his best weapons ever, better than 2007 in New England, and then all of a sudden, the guy who can't get hurt gets hurt.
Wah, wah, yeah. wah.
Do we have a sound effect for that?
That'd be bad. We don't.
It's a little bit like Shimes, I think.
I do wonder about Mike Evans, because Mike Evans is used to getting the ball a lot. In the last 2 weeks, he hasn't, and they haven't even gotten Antonio Brown.
Is he going
to
get mad?
I wonder.
Throw his helmet, take his cleats off.
Well, now Chris Godwin's out this week because he hurt his finger, so more targets for Mike Evans.
Oh, is he out again?
Yep.
Well, and broken index finger.
And Wiggy said...
This guy can't stay on the field.
Is he Damian Harris?
It is Wiggy's contention that all of Antonio Brown's plays are coming off of Scotty Miller's list. That all the Scotty Miller plays are now going to Antonio Brown. And Scotty Miller's been like Tom Brady's binky so far.
Yeah, he's throwing a lot to Miller. But
he's got nothing to say.
I was going to say, if you could throw to Brown instead, yes, please.
A, it's an upgrade. But B, what is Scotty Miller going to say? Like,
oh, nothing.
Mike Evans is your franchise wide receiver.
I wonder if Evans has a bit of a gripe. That'd be the one guy I'd be concerned about. Because you know Brady's going to force it to Brown. The one game he played with the Patriots, he did the same thing. Like, he's going to do that no matter what. Like,
but that was different because it was the Patriots. And I know people tried to
keep him on track, though.
You had elite weapons. You didn't. That was the most... The little picture people like to say, oh, look at the elite weapons. Josh Gordon was toast in
New
England.
At that minute, he wasn't toast yet.
Yes, he was.
No, I don't think he was.
I think he was. You just didn't want to admit it.
No, week two
it was
wasn't.
One of those narratives
and
that
Edelman,
people would catch up with
Edelman
later.
He still had a 100-yard, 1,000-yard season, so he wasn't toast last
year.
No,
he wasn't toast, but he's also not like...
I know, he's not.
He is what he is. He's a volume slot receiver. Great. Yeah. The volume's gone.
Is Julian Edelman's problems right now, are they physical or are they psychological? Because it feels almost, and one could lead to the other, I admit that.
I think it's physical that the quarterback can't throw.
I think
that's what I think is physical.
Because
he can't throw slants. And
he looks so disinterested, moping around.
I would be too. Like, I get open. He doesn't see
throw
me. He doesn't see
me.
He finally throws it. It's behind me and deflects off my hands. And I get people on the internet ripping me. People are shredding Julian Edelman on the internet. And I don't think it's fair. And I don't think it's called for. The way they turn on heroes in this town is embarrassing.
Oh, it's quick. And I don't think it's hard to get a full assessment of Edelman. Like, I think he's probably not as quick as he was because, you know what, he's a 34 receiver, he's had a million injuries, and he thrives off of quickness. That's how he's been able to get every catch in his career. So he's a little bit slower, I guess. But also, he's got a very inaccurate quarterback right now, so it's hard to kind of show off what you can do. Now, does he have a lot of drops? Yep, he does.
He does.
Yes.
But, you know, the last couple of weeks, he hasn't really been involved in the offense.
I was going to say, hasn't had a lot of drops the last couple of weeks because he hasn't had a lot of anything. They don't target him anymore.
Right.
He was targeted three times the other day. What did it result in? Two of them were picks. Mm-hmm. One was off his hands.
And even Cam Newton said, you know, that's on him. Well, I'm sure Julian Edelman thinks it's on Cam, too.
Yes.
I'm over here. I wear a one and a one on my jersey.
Throw it when I'm open. Don't wait for the guy to get close and then throw it behind me and try to, A, get me hurt, or, B, get it turned over. Mm-hmm. It was a bad ball to N'Keal Harry. The problem with the passing
game...
It got
him jacked up,
too. Yes. He got hit so hard that I don't think there was any head-to-head contact. His brain just moved in his head because of the violence of the hit.
No, you could see, on the slow motion, you could see there was helmet-to-helmet.
I'm not sure about that. I still think it was...
helmet, but he got popped.
It was the violence of the hit that shook his brain inside his head, and that's on Cam. The biggest problem this team has right now is Scam Newton, as Keyshawn just said. The guy, like that. If you get that 20% better, 30% better, all the other stuff... by extension, will look better. There's no doubt about that, in my opinion.
Buyers or sellers by next Tuesday's trade deadline. We'll discuss that coming up next. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
How many times has Rich Keefe been wrong?
Zero. Ever? Ever. Ever. Ever.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
What? This is not Cam Newton.
I mean, not the guy that we remember. It was fool's gold. Week two, we all saw that. Man, he looked great. No, Seattle gives up 500 yards a game. Yeah. What we're seeing now is a guy that has poor mechanics. He's short hopping balls. He's not accurate. It's just awful. And for 3 years now, I think I've been saying how awful the talent is there. There's no separation. So guys can't get open. He can't throw. He can't hit them even if they are open. So this is a disaster right now in New England.
Generally speaking, my rule of thumb is to discount virtually anything Rex Ryan says about the New England Patriots because he's got such an overwhelming hatred of all things Bill Belichick. But he ain't wrong on a lot of what he's saying there. Not a lot of separation, but even when they are open, Kim can't hit them anyway.
Yep.
Right, because I think we all expected, you're like, all right, you're replacing Tom Brady with Cam Newton. Tom Brady, one of the more accurate passers in NFL history. Cam Newton, not known for that, right?
Do you know Cam Newton has a higher completion percentage than Tom Brady? Right
I do.
Now?
I do.
Saw that.
Hey, Shime, I love your numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers.
Take
it's
that
a
number.
Numbers world.
Take
we live
that
in.
Number. But the point is, you kind of knew that. All right, he's not going to be quite as sharp with just the straight up passing of the football. But not this bad. Like, that's what Rex, like, I agree with Rex's first point. He's like, this isn't even Cam Newton. This isn't, all right, so say 2015 Cam Newton is an MVP and you're not going to see that one again. All right, I'll take 16, 17, the first half of 18 Cam Newton over what we're getting right now.
Yes.
He's never looked this bad. His rookie year, his first two games of his career, he threw for back-to-back 400-yard games.
Were the last two 400-yard games.
And this guy, and he threw for 4,000 yards that season, the only time he's done that in his career.
What year was that?
His rookie year.
Yeah, well,
oh, 11, I think.
Long time
Oh, it was a long
ago.
Time ago. It was right.
Long. Tom Brady was young back then.
No, he wasn't. No, he was not. He was still the oldest guy on his team, probably. But this isn't even him.
He's in Tebow land. We talked about it earlier. That's how bad his reads and throws have been. That from a passing perspective, he has been in the world of Tim Tebow.
Hey, Tebow won a playoff game, though, that way.
It's even to the point in a similar fashion. I was listening to OMF yesterday, and they had a caller call in about moving Cam Newton to running back, moving him to like tight end, slot receiver, whatever.
He had a nice catch.
But that's how bad his passing has been. They're like, the guy's a good athlete. He can run. Maybe we need to move him from the position where throwing is a prerequisite.
Yikes.
So I put up a Twitter poll this morning just to kind of get a sense of where people were on this. I said, what should the Patriots do by next Tuesday? Buy, sell, or stand pat? Rich, I think people heard you yelling at them, so stand pat has gone down a little bit.
Okay, good. Stand pat's not a take.
We can influence
well,
the poll.
It's still down to 10% of 2,660 votes. Buy is 29%. Sell is 61% of the people who voted so far. Now, that means they think this year is toast. This is done.
Is that even arguable?
I think they're
not
wrong. Yeah, I mean, for sure. And I guess the one thing you can do is if you want to say of all these recent, quote, must-win games, we all acknowledge that Buffalo is the most of the must-wins, right? I know you're not supposed to have three in a row and you lose them and you keep kind of kicking the can down the road, but that's what we've done. And I understand that the Buffalo game means more. And I also don't think Buffalo's that good. But I think right now, and the way they lost to San Francisco, if they lost a shootout, or even a real defensive battle. Like, if they were really good on one side of the ball, even at 2-4, I might be able to spin it a little bit more positive and put more stock in the Buffalo game. But they were just so bad that I think you absolutely now have to trade Tooney, have to trade Gilmore. Right? And that's what we're talking about. Those are the only two players I think you would get something for. And that something is still like a second-round pick, a third-round pick, things like that. But Andy's point, too, about how you're not just getting rid of guys. This is also an opportunity to find a guy that maybe is on another team, they're not going to re-sign him, or they just happen to have a loaded depth chart at a certain position, and you get him in here, and he has 2 years left on his rookie deal. And then you can, all right, you got him for the rest of this year, you have him next year, and then maybe you can even re-sign him. Players like that that can be a part of your future is worth investing in.
Or even a veteran with... maybe he's making a little too much money for that team because he's their backup tight end, so he's making too much money and he's got 3 years left on the deal.
Right, right.
But he'd be your number one tight end by far. You have cap room, whatever. I just think that is the approach. They need to approach this as any way, absolutely. You know, Bill always says it's a mosaic, how you put your team together.
Yeah.
Any little piece of glass.
And there's different times to do it.
That makes it look better.
Yes.
Whether that is removing, you know, this piece doesn't look good, let's put this piece in instead, or adding this piece. They need to be open to all of it. That's where they're at.
Jim McBride of The Globe wrote a piece today. The headline is, running through receivers, tight ends, and linebackers, the Patriots could trade for at the deadline. And this is not one of those, you know, Bill's calling and telling Jim, here are the guys we're going after things. He's theorizing teams that might be in the mood to sell off pieces and particular pieces that you may be interested in. For instance, he says the Houston Texans have five receivers. Any one of them would instantly upgrade the New England core. Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Kiki Kute, he says they're likely all on the market. Any one of those would be an upgrade, right?
Well, yeah, definitely an upgrade.
They're all
better,
but then it's like, to what end?
And that would be my question, because none of those guys, first of all, you're adding pieces for the long term. You're not adding a singular piece that makes you suddenly a contender in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all agree that ship has sailed. So is, you know, Brandon Cooks is a guy that Bill liked. And then he got him here and he realized he sort of is what he is. He's not worth $15 million a year. Does he still kind of like him, though, long term? Does he still kind? And he's an interesting guy because
I don't.
Billy O'Brien,
yeah,
he was struggling, did nothing. As soon as Billy O'Brien leaves, Brandon Cooks suddenly had like 250 yards receiving in the two games after Billy O left. So he's an interesting guy. None of those guys to me are worth the investment I'd probably have to give up to get them long term.
Well, it's funny because last year, if like Will Fuller was available and you can pair him up with Brady, I'm doing it in a second. But it's different now.
Right.
Like,
pairing him with Cam? Down the field, big play threat. Cam can chuck it.
He could be his Ted Ginn from
when
he
won. I have no idea where it's going.
Yeah.
But
it's so 50-50 at best. Flip a coin.
McBride has a name that I know Rich has talked about in the past. He says Adam Thielen. Signed a four-year, $65 million deal in 2019. Vikings would likely like to get out from underneath that contract with the way their season has gone. I mean, I like Adam Thielen.
I'll take Adam Thielen in a hot second.
What's his contract status?
He makes,
I know you just said the
4-year, $65 million
that
he signed in
2019. Do they have a big cap hit if they get him? I mean,
I don't know.
He's a guy that I think you could sell yourself on as a long-term build-around.
He's your number one receiver for the next 3 years.
Right.
Yes.
So now I got to figure out the quarterback that he's going to be with, whatever.
Right.
But at least I feel like that's a baseline addition that makes me significantly better.
100%. And whoever your quarterback is just in a better situation. Because no matter who it is, whether it's Cam again, which seems at this point unlikely, hopefully it's not Stidham again, or maybe it's a free agent, maybe it's a draft pick, whatever. Are you going to give them a chance to succeed? And if it's, well, we got N'Keal Harry, we have, you know, 35-year-old now, Julian Edelman, and Damir Bird, you're like, well, you're going to get the same results. So if you could get an Adam Thielen, you do it.
He also brings up an interesting name, and I've seen this one bandied about elsewhere. If the Patriots are looking for help on defense, and Jim McBride brings up J.J. Watt.
Yeah, no thanks.
And I've heard that name brought up elsewhere as well. I'm not sure what he's got left.
Yeah, that's a...
No, I don't want him.
He would be the guy...
I think his brothers are better than him now.
TJ definitely
Yes, TJ's
is.
Definitely yeah, better. Yeah. But he would be a guy that in the past, if this were a traditional Patriots team, maybe I'd be like, oh yeah, Ed, you need a defensive lineman, add J.J. Watt. That puts us over the top. We're in the
right.
Super Bowl. We win. That's
like
a great story.
The Chris Long edition you would have taken.
But now,
Watt.
Like, long term, I'm with Dale. I think he's a little old in the tooth. He's had so many injuries over the years.
Yeah.
Like, tore something. Then he had a broken top of his leg bone and these various.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm not interested in what it would take or what it would pay for. That seems like a flashy move that really wouldn't help you long term.
And I think Jack in New Hampshire is going to talk about another name that I heard on Twitter earlier today about a possible addition. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, this guy's shown some real ability, athletic ability, but he hasn't, you know, performed well. Maybe the coaching could help Chris Herndon for the Jets.
Ugh, I really don't like him. You're right, but you know what, Jack? To be fair, it could be Adam Gase. You leave Adam Gase and you turn into a superstar, so I guess you can't rule it out, but I've not been a fan.
You know what the top story is if you Google Chris Herndon?
I don't.
It's suspensions and injuries, which I don't think has anything to do with Adam Gase.
No, Jack, the first one I got was Jets Chris Herndon lays another egg.
he kind
of
stinks.
Jack, I liked your other name better.
I liked
your other name. Yeah, there's a reason he fallen out of favor. Give your other name, which I like better.
Ingram?
Yeah.
Evan Ingram?
Yeah, I'd take him, sure.
Yeah, I would like him too, yeah.
I would take him. I'd give him a shot. But again...
The tight end in Houston, Fells, he looks pretty good. I mean, he's hard to cover.
Yeah, I'm not as big on Fells. But if you got Thielen and a guy like Ingram, now I feel like I'm starting to put together a skill position core where I'm narrowing it down to I got to find a quarterback to get these guys the ball. But those are certainly upgrades that they might be able to take up the opportunity to get.
Well, I got a name for you.
Ricky Snails Jones.
He's a free agent next year.
You want him?
Dan Duggan writing about Evan Engram. He signed a 4-year, $10.7 million contract through this year. Plus, he's got an option, fifth-year option for 2021 for $6 million. Again, affordable. Cap hit is $3.4 million. Projected trade value, fourth or fifth-round pick. Potential fits, Bills, Cardinals, Panthers, Patriots.
Ooh, he said Patriots.
How about that?
I like it.
I think everybody says Patriots just to get people.
Yeah, I would.
Wide receiver.
People click.
But if you're the Patriots, that guy's affordable. He's an upgrade over everyone you have. The Giants are probably looking to unload some stuff here, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Giants for sure.
You know the head and coach.
That's what they need to do. Because I'm not, you know, it would be unfair to say Keen and Asiasi are going to be nothing. Like, it's way too early. They've barely even played. Keen just was active for the first time. But they need a veteran to go with those guys. So Ryan Izzo shouldn't be the lead guy right now for them. So you got to blow Ryan Izzo out of here and get an experienced 8-year veteran tight end to come in here and sort of help these guys along. The receiver to me, like, so I don't need even a flashy name for tight end. I just need like an old tight end, like an old, reliable, average tight end. The receiver, that's to me where you need a legit number one guy because you're not even close there.
Well, Jim McBride brought up a couple of tight ends in the piece that he wrote today as well. And he said, you know, go to the Jacksonville Jaguars and look at either Tyler Eifert or James O'Shaughnessy.
Oh, former Patriot James O'Shaughnessy. I loved him. I made a terrible bet that he was going to catch 35 passes for the Patriots that year.
So
this year.
He did not. Both guys are free agents, so it's one of those things where it's like, how much do you really want to give up for the rest of this season? Like, it kind of depends, I think, on what happens with the Bills game, and can you just get him in the offseason? I guess you could do that.
Get him and sign him.
Or do you not give up any kind of draft capital and just sign him in the offseason?
I'd give up a seventh for James O'Shaughnessy and then sign him to an extension.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe he likes it here. Maybe he had a good time, and who knows, just didn't work out at that time. But
Jacob, doesn't,
Jacob he also, Hollister, also a free agent.
No, yeah. He doesn't Hollister. Have the injury history that Eifert has.
No, Eifert's
hurt all the time.
Eifert was dominant like that 1 year, and he's been nothing but hurt, basically.
Two bionic ankles, I believe.
Ooh, that'll help.
Well, you can't break them again if they're bionic.
True.
So O'Shaughnessy, if you're a buyer.
I liked him.
And most of my poll respondents are not buyers. They're sellers.
No.
But if you're a buyer, O'Shaughnessy's a name that you'd consider going after.
Yes, because, see, I'm in the land of Dale didn't have this option, both, where not, so now I'm trading. I get my second for Gilmore. I got my third for Tooney. I swapped a seventh for O'Shaughnessy. I feel like I'm having a nice trade season if I do that. Yep. Now I got all the two and the three to move up in the draft, get a quarterback. It's all coming together nicely, Bill. Uh-huh. Anytime you want to talk, I'm here.
Might want to have a plan for a quarterback.
I apologized
next year.
If you know, we had a little down part when I mocked you for your
you
quarterback.
Didn't mock him.
I apologized earlier,
you
Bill.
Also,
water under the bridge.
You tried to compliment Bill by saying this team, they like each other more than ever before, and that has led to three straight losses. So,
well, that was a, I mean, it is funny.
They
though.
Love each other a lot. The chemistry
is out there.
Chemistry's through the roof.
Since I did say that they love their coach and he managed the situation better than anyone has ever managed anything ever, they never won again.
Nope. And they've had two of their worst performances you'll ever see.
Well, they didn't practice for one of them.
They've scored one touchdown.
And as positive Andy has been today, he has a bone to pick.
Oh.
And he's going to pick a bone with an internet blogger coming up next.
Ooh.
It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
I got something you can plug right in.
Why are you the way that you are?
On WEEI.
I got a bone to pick.
Andy Hart's got his own theme music now, apparently.
This is a new segment. Shime yesterday had a bone to pick.
With who?
Shime's got a bone to pick
with
here,
me.
Too.
He was mad because we had a caller make a pick for Fitzy on Friday, and the caller had a teaser. And normally I would shame Shime into not picking teasers, but we
and
let the caller get away
so,
with it.
I think.
But the caller got it right, so.
Hey, if you're right,
you're
right.
A win's a win. We're looking for winners.
Production-based business, baby.
Well, anyway, he had a bone to pick yesterday, but now today you have a bone to pick.
I do have a bone to pick. So we all saw the other night, and if you didn't see it live, you saw it immediately all over Twitter.
A 100 times since then.
DK Metcalf revisited the old Ben Watson play, only even more impressively because he tackled him well short of the goal line. Then the defense steps up and they don't score a touchdown. It was huge. It was great. It also happened to come on a day when N'Keal Harry got sent to the locker room, continuing his unfortunate comparison to DK Metcalf, right?
And all these guys. Look at Debo.
But Metcalf is the one that everybody loves, everybody knows and wanted.
There's four guys you can pick from.
So Jerry Thornton retweets the highlight with the little, you know, miles per hour below and says, quote, "If I'm Belichick, I'm showing this on loop to my players for a solid hour and to my college scouting department for the rest of the day." Whoa, 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 excuse me? You're blaming the quote-unquote college scouting department for passing on DK Metcalf? You think took N'Keal Harry in the first round? Bill took that draft off and lets the underlings make the picks? I thought he had full control.
I would still like to know if there was a Dick Rabine making an impassioned plea for N'Keal Harry like Rabine did for Tom Brady. Did somebody sell Belichick? Well, let's be honest. He's not out scouting these games. He sees all the video when the season's over. But did somebody say, no, I'm telling you, Bill, this is the guy.
So they bullied Bill into a first-round pick? Is that
never
what
happened.
Bullied Bill?
Never has ever happened.
Dick Rabine didn't bully, Belichick into a flyer.
And
Brady.
The sixth round when Bill says, yeah, let's take a quarterback here. Who you like? Okay, there's an opportunity for somebody to say, the guy that separates himself from the others in the pack is Tom Brady. Here are the reasons why. The first round pick, you know who makes that selection? The guy who runs the damn team, who runs the damn organization, Bill Belichick. And now somehow, because things are going poorly and it didn't turn out well, we're going to blame the schleps who go all over the country and watch games and eat at freaking Cumberland Farms at 11 o'clock at night, a bad slice of pizza. We're blaming them for taking N'Keal
Harry. By the way, Cumberland Farms has fine pizza. They're a sponsor.
Okay, never had it. Sorry, I love Cumberland Farms.
But they actually have incredible pizza.
I think it's crazy, too, because I think for most people, and you should be a Belichick fan, right? Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. He's won a lot of Super Bowls. But if you ask him, it is like, who was in charge for drafting Richard Seymour? Oh, Belichick. Who drafted Vince Wilfork?
Right.
Bill Belichick. Who drafted N'Keal Harry? Ah, scouting department.
Who drafted Kyle Duggar because he looks good? Huh, Bill. You saw him. He goes to Division II. He can see that guy fitting in his defense immediately. He plays him. But when it goes
wrong... I'm not making this excuse here.
Feels like
I always want to know what's the dynamic here. I know Bill makes the call, but he's not the guy who puts the information together. I mean, ultimately, that's obviously.
But he
his general
works
manager,
out a lot of these guys.
Unquote.
He's very active during that whole time. During the season, obviously.
And by the way, if he's
this.
The one who said, and maybe he is, he sat in that room and said, "I don't care what you guys. I know you guys are all telling me to take DK Metcalf. I'm taking N'Keal Harry." And then the blame's all on him.
I think the anecdote in the book about with Thomas Dimitroff and Julio Jones sums it up perfectly. Like Julio Jones, Jonathan Baldwin, and it's like the same guy. But I think the first round picks for sure are Bill, and that's why they've traded out of the first round before. That's also his decision. But Jordan Richards and Tavon Wilson are Bill.
Now, I have a theory.
He thought maybe he talked to Herm Edwards or maybe whatever. I mean, we've seen him talk to Urban Meyer in the past and go in and take his guys and whatever. But I don't know how you land on N'Keal Harry.
The question I have is the role that Josh McDaniels played in it. Because I do know in the past, for example, Nate Solder and Isaiah Wynn, those were Dante Scarnecchia.
Dante Scarnecchia.
He said, these are my guys.
Yep.
If Bills might say, listen, if we get in the spot in the middle of the round, we're probably going to take a tackle who you want. And if he got to that and said, listen, we don't have any receivers. If things fall the way we think they're going to fall, we might go receiver early, who you want. I think there's a chance Josh McDaniels either pushed that pick, signed off on that pick. I even go back to that story where Brady and McDaniels were kind of giving each other hand gestures on the practice field because Harry didn't do the right thing in Brady's eyes. And the way he immediately defended Harry made me wonder,
could it be a McDaniels pick?
He's invested
in
this
I like
pick.
Him even less
he's
than in, but he picked him.
To blame
that's a great point, though, that because Dante was given.
Yes.
And why wouldn't you? If you're Bill Belichick and Dante says, here's the offensive lineman you ought to take, why wouldn't you listen to him?
So that would be the opening.
Did he listen to Josh on this?
Maybe. But he certainly didn't listen to the quote-unquote college scouting department where he needs to brainwash them with some DK Metcalf clip.
Who picked Aaron Dobson, Chad Jackson, Bethel Johnson? Who
so
picked those
Bill
guys?
Gets so the way we're doing it here, according to Jerry, love Jerry, by the way, his book company promoting a new book wants to know if I want to have him on any of my shows. They emailed me. So since my show is really
what
not
show
my
are you
show,
on?
I don't know this one. So that's why I was asking you two since
well, you're on with
the
Nick Cattles.
Well, now I mean, love to come on.
Cattles
right?
on Thursdays.
Yeah, get him
he
on
also
there.
Got really mad at us for the off day podcast because in one of them, Ryan said we had knee jerk reactions to a game. And apparently, Jerry thinks that he
well,
owns
he's
the
been
phrase.
Saying, he's been writing that for a long time.
So have a lot of other people been saying knee jerk. When you have a reaction on a Monday morning, you're either Monday morning quarterback. Does somebody own that too? Because I've heard that a lot. lot over the years.
That was actually what I started calling them, Andy, when I was your producer for that podcast. Mm. And I can say it was really original, and it took me a lot of thought to come
up
with it.
He doesn't actually own the phrase invented podcast.
But more importantly,
yeah, well first done. To do that.
Let's get back to the initial roots of the rant.
Okay.
When Bill does things well, right, it's always his pick.
Yeah.
When it goes poorly, let's blame the college scouting department that's making one millionth of whatever Belichick's making, have the worst schedule on the planet, don't see their families, and you're going to blame them for the Patriots taking N'Keal Harry over DK Metcalf?
I had the same issue with Bill Parcells, because the famous line about Terry Glenn, he didn't want Terry Glenn and all the, you know, the groceries and all this other stuff, but it's like, so did you get to pick all the other guys? Like, right, William McGinnis and Ty Law? Like, so you get credit for them, but then you can pout about Terry Glenn? Like, how does
when
how
you
does it
reach
work?
That position where, yeah, you only get praise but no blame,
yeah,
you
place
have made it in this world,
pretty,
baby.
Pretty good spot.
You made it.
All right, so let's let Shime get his bone to pick out of the way here, too.
Oh.
I got a bone to pick.
Real quick,
good
I just
Lord.
Got a
what
bone
is this
to pick.
About?
Just you got a bone to pick with Mike Giardi.
Oh, he won't let it go. He's been in here every break.
Yeah, he's really
defending Stephon Gilmore.
It's Stephon Gilmore, and I'm just looking at Pro Football Reference, and Pro Football Reference doesn't update their games until the Wednesday following the game. So this week's game, according to their site, hasn't been updated. I went and updated it for them. and even still,
yeah,
passer rating against for Stephon Gilmore is only a 76. It's not even close to 100.
Now, I just
so
a
your
question.
Beef isn't with Giardi, it's with Pro Football.
Or no, it's with Giardi stats.
Giardi posted that,
I think,
though.
Giardi, if you read the phrase, I know things haven't gone well the last few weeks.
Right.
I'm wondering if he's...
I think there's a
smaller
a more
sample
size.
It's a three-week
yes
or a four-week window of
so
pass.
I'm going to go out on a limb, Shime. I'm going to suggest that Mike Giardi's stats are right.
He's always right. The man is
so
the same.
I trust Mike as well. But even he says, Gilmore's only been targeted 6 times over the last 2 weeks. So... you know, I think that's very
that's
difficult
disgusting
to use.
What the hell is that statement? I mean, come
I love
on,
Mike.
Just stop talking.
I heard he smells great.
He told
too
you to stop talking.
Burn.
He wins. He's got a bone to pick with you, and he said, shut up.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got a Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30 today. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart. With this, you know, we should just let this play in the background all the time here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.